In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Have you ever heard the people talk about the Holy Spirit like, the Holy Spirit is the forgotten person in the Blessed Trinity? Well, I'm telling you this, if he's forgotten, nothing's happening. Nothing is happening if the Holy Spirit is forgotten. Nothing. You just have the same thing over and over and over again. The Holy Spirit is active. The Holy Spirit is fire. The Holy Spirit is wind. The Holy Spirit comes as fire and wind. And I'm telling you, he has a plan for the church and a plan for you and a plan for me. I'm reading from Genesis 11, 1 through 9. The whole world spoke the same language, using the same words. While the people were migrating in the east, they came upon a valley in the land of Shinar, assigned Shashinar, and addressed them. They said to one another, "Come, let us mold bricks and harden them with fire." They used bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and tower that its top to the sky, so that we make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered all over the earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the people had built. Then the Lord said, If now, while they are one people, all speaking the same language, they have started to do this, nothing will later stop them from doing whatever they presume to do. Let us then go down, the Lord says, and confuse their language so that one will not understand another. And I continue. Thus the Lord scattered them from all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the speech of the world. It was from that place that he scattered them all over the earth. Well, I tell you, Pentecost undoes Babel. First of all, Babel, that's where Babylon comes from. Babel is, we want to build a name for ourselves. We want a name for ourselves. And when Pentecost came, they wanted a name for Jesus. This Jesus, whom you have persecuted and killed, is both Lord and Messiah and has been raised from the dead. You see, Pentecost undoes Babel. They spoke in other tongues, and what happened? They could be heard and they could be understood and they could be listened to by many. 3,000 men that day said, "What shall we do to be saved?" And he said, "Peter, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Be baptized." I'm telling you, where the Holy Spirit is, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. It's not just, I know a place where they just, on Pentecost, they have fans going and their winds are moving. We need the wind of the Spirit. We don't need the wind of fans, that's for sure. Fire, we need the fire of the Holy Spirit. We need that fire would enkindle in us so that we can make a name for Jesus. Pentecost makes a name for Jesus. Babel made a name for themselves. Pentecost undoes what Babel did. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. Where the Holy Spirit is, God is doing wonderful things. He is not the forgotten person of the Trinity to people who believe. To people who believe that there are many more things that Jesus did. Were they all recorded, all the books in the world would not be able to contain them. I'm going to tell you some stories of the Holy Spirit. Just this week, a lady comes into the rectory, and I don't know her from Eve, but anyway, she came in for a certain reason, and she said, "You know what happened many, many years ago?" I said, "No." She said, "You prayed over my husband. He was a drunk." and you just prayed over him. And the next day he went into the bar as usual, and he heard people cursing and swearing. He says, that's what I used to do. I'm not doing that anymore. Imagine, just the laying on of hands. I'm not doing that anymore. Never drank again. Never drank again. I remember another one. I was at St. Anthony's in Everett, and this beautiful woman comes up to me and says, my husband is a drunk. I'll never forget what I prayed, because I haven't prayed like that since, I don't think. What I prayed was, I said, Lord Jesus Christ, the next time he takes a drink, let him throw up. Let him throw his brains up. Well, you know what? I'm listening to myself saying, what a terrible prayer that is. Well, you know what happened? He went to the bar the next day, and he got terribly sick. Sick as a dog. And he came home and said to his wife, I'll never drink again. She said, I heard that before, but it was true. He never drank again. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Making a name for Jesus. Making a name for Jesus. I remember many years ago when, I think it was 2002, I was with Margaret and I was with Dan, and we were on our way to a certain place in Poland. And in the morning I said to the Lord out loud, you can have this day, do whatever you want, I surrender, we surrender. Well, we're driving and driving and driving, and the car starts dying out, and we had to stop it. And it was right across the street from the church, and I'll never forget myself, because I went and said, I'm not going to fight, I'm going into the church to pray. And when I went into the church, there were people that was going to do the Vespers. They said that there is no priest anymore because the priest is sick. He's taken a nervous breakdown, or he's taken this or taken that, and he's very sick. I said, well, I'll celebrate Mass for you. I'll never forget the organist. The organist said, Jesus came for me. He had psychological problems, and he felt the love of God for the first time. To make matters even better, there was a garage across the street from the church, and the man made the part to fix the automobile. He made the part, and I wanted to give him extra money. And you know what? He wouldn't accept it. He said, I only want the money for what I worked for. I'm telling you, Jesus knows how to do things. The story isn't ended. We went up to the rectory, and there was the priest. The priest hadn't shaved, hadn't eaten. He was terribly, terribly looking, and, you know, he was so gaunt. So we started to proclaim Jesus to him. We started to proclaim Jesus to him. And as we proclaimed Jesus to him, he started to come alive. And he saw Danny, and Danny said, I'm going to be a priest. And the priest said, I'll be praying for you. And he came out of himself. He came out of himself. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit leads you. You never know what's going to happen next when the Holy Spirit leads you. Yes, that young man that came to me, all tattooed, beautiful guy with his brother, I'm telling you, he said, I'm having an operation tomorrow because my skull is missing a bone. Well, we prayed, just a simple little prayer. He had the operation, and the bone was there after the prayer. I'm telling you, where the Spirit of God is, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. It is the power of God. The Holy Spirit is not the forgotten person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the one who works in this dispensation, making Jesus real, making the Eucharist into Jesus. I'm telling you, it's all about the Holy Spirit. And yet, people don't believe. People don't believe. What did Joel say? Joel said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even upon the servants and handmaids in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. Oh, yes. This is exactly what Peter said to the 3,000. It is written that Joel said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. We need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit more than we need anything else. We've got enough committees. We've got enough meetings. We need the Holy Spirit to come in power so that we can see the magnificence of God. I tell you, anyone that says that the Holy Spirit is the forgotten person of the Trinity, nothing is happening in them or in their church. And it shouldn't be that way, because the Spirit wants to fill us. Jesus said, "Let the man who thirsts come to me and drink, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." But you see, it's got to have a thirst. If you don't have a thirst, nothing's going to happen. Oh God, create for us a thirst, that we would be so thirsty and so thirsty and so thirsty that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, Father. We are living in the day of unbelief. Unbelief. We've all gone through the school of unbelief, but yet when the Spirit of God comes, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. Are things happening in your life? That's my question. Are things happening in your life? Where is God? Where is God? Where is God moving? How is God moving? The Holy Spirit is that person that glorifies Jesus. The scripture says, when the Spirit of God comes, he will glorify Jesus. Yes. Are you glorifying Jesus today? Are there mighty acts that you can talk about today? I remember once many, many years ago, I was singing praises to the Lord, never forget. And it was very interesting because I was looking for a certain number at a home address. I was on the street and it went around in circles, and I went around once, I went around twice, I went around three times. I could not find the number I was looking for. So anyway, I stopped and I thought I'd ask directions, and I said to this man sitting on the steps, "I'm looking for this number." And he said, "Go into the house and ask my wife." I said, what a stupid thing to say. But I was even more stupid. I went into the house and asked his wife. But the second the wife saw me, she started screaming, "Why are you here? Why are you here?" I said, "I'm looking for 45 so-and-so street." She said, "You see this baby that I'm holding?" I said, "Yes." "This baby that I'm holding is a baby I want to adopt. His parents are drug addicts and they won't let him go." And I looked at the woman and I said, "A man of God has come to your house today not looking for you, but this baby is yours. This baby is yours. And when he becomes yours, I want to baptize him." And you know what? Months later, I baptized the baby and the baby was theirs. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He knows how to do all these things. I can't do them. I can't make these things happen. I can't make these things happen, but God does. I remember the time that I was praying at Fatima Shrine, and as I was praying over one person, I said, "It's time to let it all go, whatever you're holding on to." His son had committed suicide, and you know what? He let it all go that night. He says, "Something happened to me that night when you spoke the word of God." I didn't know his son committed suicide. I had no idea. Who would tell me? I was there just to pray over the people and to see God work. Again, when God works, he does things that only God can do. And it's all done under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's done under the power of Pentecost. Let's read about Pentecost. It's beautiful. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled. Now, what is Pentecost? It is the Jewish feast of the law. The people in Judaism reflect that the law was given to Moses. So that's why we're going to see so many people in Jerusalem. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind that filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. This is the opposite of Babel. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. Why were they there? Because it was the feast of giving of the law. There were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. You see, it wasn't Babel, it was his own language. And they were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking from Galilee? Then how does each of us hear them speak in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and the district of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We all hear them speaking in our own native tongues about the mighty acts of God." What was the mighty acts of God? Jesus Christ, who died and who was buried and who rose from the dead. It was Jesus who pours out his Spirit upon these people. It is Jesus that starts the church in this way, gaining 3,000 people into the kingdom of God that day. How did it happen? It happened through the power of the Spirit. People say, "We don't need the Spirit now. We have laws." We need the Spirit more than we've ever needed him. But you see, we want to control. One thing the Spirit will not let us do, the Holy Spirit, he will not tell us that we can control things. He comes and does what he wants to do. We have to give the Spirit liberty. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's real. It's real. We cannot get along without the Holy Spirit. How could I be preaching for 30 years if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit? I had the gift of the Spirit and still have him, and I'm able to proclaim the Word of God to you. And you know, people tell me, "Father Tom, you were speaking to me." And you know what? I wasn't. I was speaking to the congregation, but that person heard what they needed to hear. Sometimes one lady came to me and said, "Thank you for telling me thus and such." And I thought, I never said thus and such. But that's what she heard. The Spirit of God gave her the wisdom to hear thus and such from my mouth. And I didn't ever say it. I didn't tell her that. You know, she had to hear what she had to hear. And the Spirit of God became what she needed to hear. Even without me saying the words, God did it. Isn't it wonderful when God does tricks like that? It's wonderful. We need God to do things like that. That's why when the Spirit comes, he praises Jesus. When the Spirit comes, he proclaims Jesus. When the Spirit comes, he heals in the name of Jesus and through the power of the blood. How we need the Holy Spirit. We need that he would come in gentle ways, in powerful ways, in a vigorous way. We are thirsty. In Boston, you know, they proclaim Boston is the city that's hardest to convert to Christianity. You know why? Because people have all these colleges here and they think that they have all the wisdom of the world. Yet in all reality, they need to become like children in order to receive the Holy Spirit. So we have Harvard. But you know Harvard at one time? It was a theological school. It's gone. We have Yale. Yale was a theological school. Gone. I tell you, the church needs the Holy Spirit more than it needs new priests. Thank God for the new priests that we have. But the Holy Spirit will allow people to give their life to Jesus as priests. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit, that the Lord would do wonders and acts of glory. And remember what they said. They heard them speaking the mighty acts of God. And these acts of God were Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. I tell you, that's what we need today. I don't need $1,000. I don't need $1,000,000. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of the unction of the Holy Spirit. In the scripture, Luke's chapter, the 24th chapter, Luke says, you know, at the end, they were in the temple constantly praising God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We give you praise and honor and adoration this day. Oh God, we are living in the day of Pentecost. Pour out upon us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise and glory to the name of Jesus. Praise and glory because Jesus is Lord. Praise and glory because He's got things for you and things for me. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you and bless you and adore you and glorify you. We praise you and bless you and adore you and glorify you. Oh, how many people have I prayed with that were drug addicted? How many people have I prayed with that went and got help? How many people? I can't number them. I can't number them. It's very interesting. Yesterday I preached about the guy that threw up after I prayed over his wife, and I preached about somebody else who was drunk. Little did I know that the people who were there had a problem with drugs at one time, and they had a problem with alcohol at one time. I didn't know that. Someone came up to me after and said, "Did you know what you were preaching today?" I said, "Yeah." "You preached about thus and such about alcoholism and stuff like that." I said, "Yeah." "And you preached how God delivered those two people." I said, "Yeah." They said there were people in the congregation that had been going through that. You were speaking to them. I don't know who I was speaking to. I just was speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Little did I know that there were people listening that needed to hear that as personal to themselves. This is God. This is God. I don't take account of the people that are there and ask them, "What should I preach about?" I allow the Lord to open my mouth and to speak the word that I need to speak. It's so wonderful because Jesus is Lord and He has been raised from the dead. He died for you. He was buried for you and He rose from the dead for you. His name is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus. No one else doesn't glorify me, doesn't say like Babel, "We're going to build a name for ourselves. We're going to build an..." I don't need a name for myself. I need a name for Jesus. I want people who come to me to learn and to be Jesus' friends, Jesus' colleagues. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Just the other day as we were praying, one lady, today, Bob prayed over me because I hurt my leg. And I didn't ask him to. He just prayed over me. And I said, this is what is wonderful, that people are learning that they can pray for the sick and they can do it themselves. They don't need to call the priest. He was praying for the priest. I'm the priest. And he prayed for me that my leg would get better. I'm saying this. We need the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And from your celestial home, shed a ray of light divine. Come, Father of the poor. Come, source of all our store. Come within these bosoms shine. Thou of comforters the best. Thou the soul's most welcome guest. Sweet refreshment here below. In our labor, rest most sweet. Solace in the midst of woe. Yes, in our labor, rest most sweet. Solace in the midst of woe. O most blessed light divine, shine within these hearts of thine, and your these innermost beings fill. Where thou art not, we have not, nothing good in deed or thought, nothing free from taint of ill. Heal our wounds, our strength renew. On our dryness pour thy dew. Wash the stains of guilt away. Bend the stubborn heart and will. Melt the frozen, warm the chill. Guide the steps that go astray. On the faithful who adore you and confess you evermore, in your sevenfold gift descend. Where thou art not, we have not, nothing good in deed or thought, nothing free from taint of ill. Amen. Alleluia. Heal our wounds, our strength renew. Listen, we need the Spirit. I'm praying now for the Holy Spirit. Father, we are thirsty. Come with your Holy Spirit today. Come with your Holy Spirit today. We need the Holy Spirit today that would glorify Jesus. Come and do what we can't do. Come and do what we wouldn't even know how to do. come and surprise us. The scripture says, suddenly there was a mighty wind. We need the suddenlies of God. We need that you would come with your power and that we would be filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption. And I have to tell you about the School of the Holy Spirit. From July 20th to 26th at Holy Rosary Church, the School of the Holy Spirit. You can come for the week or you can come for a day. This is a wonderful experience, and you are being invited to the School of the Holy Spirit. This is the number to call, 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. The School of the Holy Spirit. I'll be there. Maria Vadia will be there. We have other people that are going to be there. We want you to be there. You need the Holy Spirit. I need more of the Holy Spirit. So 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, be healed today of cancer. Be healed today of back injuries. Be healed today of throats. Be healed today of the lungs. Of the lungs through the power of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, allergies be healed today by the power of the cross. We make our prayer always in faith in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.